I hope you guys had a great Christmas and a happy New Year. I know we did. We had a chance to get away and be with my family and see them a little bit. I hadn't seen them for a long time, and got down to see Dad, my brothers, and their families, and it was good. And then last Sunday we had a chance to attend another church just while we were on vacation, and while we were there, something happened at the end that I just thought I'd have to tell you about. We were walking out, and my son Talon, he grabs me and says, Dad, I like that church. And I said, really? Why do you like it so much? He said, well, that preacher didn't preach very long. He said, Dad, you are windy. You know that? You talk way too long. You need to quit talking so much. And I just looked at him and said, son, you want me to go ask that guy? He could become your dad if you want him to. Okay, I can get you out of this place quick. We had a great time, and it was an enjoyable time to get away. But it is great to be back, and great to be back with you guys and to worship with you together like this, especially as we kick off this new year. I don't know about you, but I've always loved this time of the year. It's a time of new beginnings. It's a chance for a fresh beginning, isn't it? A fresh start. It's a chance for us to forget what lies behind us, whether it was good or bad, and to look forward to what lies ahead. That's the beauty of this time of the year. It brings the hope of a new beginning, doesn't it? And yet, friends, I don't want you to just hope for a new beginning. I want you to experience it. And so this morning, I want to challenge each one of you to be honest with yourself, to be honest about where you are in this journey we call life, to be honest about your relationship with Jesus, and make a decision to never be satisfied with where you're at right now. Friends, each and every one of you are you're on this journey. You're on a spiritual journey. And today, you are sitting in one of three chairs. You are sitting in one of three chairs. Years ago, Dr. Bruce Wilkinson wrote a book entitled Experiencing Spiritual Breakthroughs. In it, he explained how everyone in society falls into one of three categories of faith by using what he called the principle of the three chairs. His basic premise was this: each of the three chairs represents a different type of person of faith, three different levels of commitment describing one's relationship toward God. And the question for each of us today is this: where are you sitting in your relationship with God? What chair are you sitting in? If you've got your notes, I want you to pull those things out, because you're going to, and if you got something to write with, get that ready, because there's going to be a lot of stuff for you to write with, okay? Let's start with chair one here, okay? Chair one. And what I want you to do is I want you to write down the word Christian, okay? Write down the word Christian. The person who sits in this chair, they have given their heart wholly and completely to the Lord. There is no question about that, okay? They are sold out to Jesus Christ. They're sold out to Him. The person that's sitting in the second chair, this person's also a Christian, okay? But the problem is that this person isn't quite sure how sold out to the Lord they want to be. They're not sure how closely they want to get to Jesus, okay? What about the third chair? Well, the third chair is represented by people that aren't Christians. They're not Christians, okay? They're not Christians at all, okay? They've never, ever, once in their life, made any sort of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ at all, okay? Those are those first three chairs. Now let's go back to that first chair there, okay? If I were going to sum up a first chair person, I'd use the word commitment. I'd use the word commitment. See, the person who sits in this chair is a committed Christian. Their marching orders come directly from the Word of God. Their whole life revolves around living for Christ. They have counted the cost of discipleship, and they are willing to pay the price for it. Chair two, however, is defined by compromise. By compromise. Years ago, these people may have made a commitment to Christ, but somewhere along the line, that commitment began to fade, and compromise became the norm. They believe in God and they believe in Jesus and all that, but they aren't sold out to Him like they once were. Convictions are compromised, and behavior is dictated based on where you are and who you're with. These people are more concerned about what everybody else thinks rather than what God thinks. And so when it comes to living out their spiritual life, oftentimes they find themselves choosing to just fit in with others, to please people rather than to commit themselves to pleasing God. That's the second chair. Well, what about the third chair? Well, when you think about the third chair, I want you to think of the word complacency. Complacency. These might be some of the nicest, or they could be the most carnal people in the world. But the common thread is that they are spiritually complacent. They are lost people who, through their indifference or their busyness or perhaps their pride, they have rejected a belief in Jesus Christ. They have no relationship with the Lord, and so they just don't care, let alone think about spiritual matters. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn over to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. And as we think about this idea of the three chairs, I want us to look at a guy named Joshua. Joshua was a man who sat in the first chair. He was a man who sat in the first chair. He was a man whose heart belonged to God. He knew God intimately. Look with me at Joshua 24, beginning verse 14. It says this: "Now fear the Lord. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness." With all faithfulness. "Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household," Joshua said, "we will serve the Lord." Folks, Joshua made a decision that day that no matter what anyone else did, God was going to be first in his life. That's because he knows God. He knows God intimately. His heart belongs to him. And thus, he's committed to living out his whole life for God. I want you to write down those words, "knows God." Knows God. For that's what first chair people are all about. Knowing God intimately. Now, as far as the second chair is concerned, well, this chair represents those who know about God. They know about him. Turn over just a few pages to the right in your Bibles to Judges chapter 2. I want you to see what can happen when one's commitment begins to slowly wane a little bit. Judges chapter 2, beginning verse 6, it says, "After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, and who had seen," if you can, you want to circle that word, "seen," "who had seen all the great things that the Lord had done for Israel." I want you to know something. I want you to notice that these guys, they still loved the Lord. They still served him. But now there, it's like a little compromise begins to seep in. Unlike Joshua, who knew God intimately, here you have people described as those who had seen God. They knew about him. They knew about the Lord. They had heard about the great things that he had done. Things like the parting of the Jordan River, the sun standing still, the great battle of Jericho. They had heard about those things. But they didn't know God intimately. They just knew about him. But then you have chair three. And look what happens. Look what happens with the next generation. Look at the spiritual regression that they make as they move into the third chair. Verse 8 says this: "Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, after that whole generation had died off, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them." Folks, what a far cry. What a far cry that from that day when Joshua said, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. For as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Somehow, in that short amount of time, all those miracles had been forgotten. The dramatic power of the Lord had basically been removed from their conversations and their memory. And thus a new generation grew up who knew not the Lord. And friends, that type of spiritual erosion, it still happens today. First chair people, they know the Lord. Second chair people know about the Lord. But third chair people are so far removed from God that they don't know the Lord at all. They don't know Him at all. Why is that? Why is that? What happened? Well, I think it has a lot to do with how a person relates to God. You see, for those of you who may be sitting in the first chair, your faith in God can be summed up with one word, relationship. Write that word down, relationship. First chair Christians have a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't see the Lord as some uninterested, preoccupied, cosmic being who simply watches you from a distance out there. No, you see the Lord as a powerful but loving Father who longs to be deeply involved in your life. You love Him, and you're trying to live a life that is pleasing in His sight. But for those of you in the second chair, your spiritual pursuits don't center on a relationship. Instead, for you, it's a religion. It's a religion. It's about a bunch of rules, a list of do's or don'ts that need to be kept. For you, it's all about what you do rather than who you know. And thus, when a second chair person goes to church, you do and you say all the right things. You do all the right things. You go through all the right motions. But when you walk out those doors, when you walk out into that community, you walk out of here unchanged. That's because it's about religion. It's a duty, not a relationship. Well, the word for the third chair is rejection. Rejection. These are people who have seen the hypocrisy of religion. They've seen the futility of trying to keep a bunch of rules and regulations and how there's no real meaning or purpose in it at all. And so they reject anything and everything that even hints of religion, including Christianity. Those who sit in the third chair may be the most pleasant people in the world. They may be the greatest of servants. Or they may be as carnal and violent as all get out. But the common thread is this. When someone talks to them about making a commitment to live for Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life, their answer is simply no. Simply no. And by doing that, they knowingly or unknowingly reject the only one who can save them. You know, over the years, I've had many opportunities to talk to people who would call themselves atheists. I've had a lot of very interesting discussions talking to them about what I believe and talking to them about what he or she believes. And as we begin to wrap things up, I always find myself saying something like this to them. I always find myself saying, you know what, can I ask you just one more question before you leave? Just one more thing. Let's suppose that you are absolutely right and I'm wrong. What have I lost? A little bit of time, going to church, things like that. But what have I lost other than that? But suppose I'm right. Suppose you're wrong. What have you lost? You've lost everything. You've lost everything. And you know what? After I say that, the thing that breaks my heart time and time and time again is that they will invariably look back at me and say, well, you know what? That's a chance I'm willing to take. That's a chance I'm willing to take. Folks, listen, I got to tell you, I am completely dumbfounded by the number of people who will simply roll the dice on where they will spend all of eternity. People who sit in the third chair, they have chosen through apathy or blatant defiance to rebel against God's plan for their life, and thus they reject Him. They reject Him. Well, there's something else we need to learn from the principle of these three chairs, okay? The chair that you sit in, the one that you sit in here, reveals who's in charge, who's in control, who it is that sits on the throne of your life. And for the Christian who sits in the first chair, that answer is easy. It's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. See, as Christians, We are to live for an audience of one, aren't we? We get that. We understand that. It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's all about what He wants. First chair people, they get that. So they choose to humble themselves and they relinquish control of their lives to the Spirit of God. Scripture tells us that every one of us who are Christians have received the personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. According to Acts 2:38, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, he told those who were thinking about making a commitment to Christ, he told them to repent and be baptized. That's what he said. And he went on to say, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, there was a withdrawal of sin and a deposit of the Holy Spirit. So living inside of every Christian is the Spirit of God. And first chair people listen and they obey the promptings of the Spirit. His voice dictates our decisions. Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 16, he says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. That's the first chair Christian. But the second chair person flip-flops back and forth between Spirit and self. That's what they do. There's a part of you, isn't there? There's a part of you that really does want God's Spirit to guide and direct you. That's what you really want, but most of the time, we end up doing what we think is best, right? We listen to the Spirit and we follow His leading when it's convenient for us. But when it's not convenient, then we take over and we do what we think is best for us ourselves. Friends, listen, there is an incredible difference. There's an incredible difference between saying you're a Christian and putting God first and saying you're a Christian and putting yourself first. There's a huge difference there. Well, what about those in the third chair? What about them? Well, they're not Spirit-driven at all, okay? There's no conflict. There's no struggle. There's no tug of war between being controlled by the Spirit or being driven by the flesh. No, he or she that sits there is driven completely for him or herself. There's no struggle about who's on the throne or who's in charge or who's in control. It's all about themselves. It's not about God. Well, how do these people in these chairs view the Bible? How do they view the Bible? First chair people, they submit to the Bible. That's what they do. They submit to it. These are true disciples who believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They believe that. And they accept this as the ruling authority of their lives. Their whole life is shaped by what's inside this book. Their values, their priorities, their lifestyle, their purpose, it is all determined right here. And their motto is this: if God's Word says it, that settles it. That settles it. They don't try to wiggle around and around things. They don't try to twist things in order to justify their actions. They believe this to be the very Word of God. And so they submit and they obey it. No discussions. And thus, these people in this first chair, they have no trouble whatsoever with tithing. They have no trouble with that. They have no trouble being generous that way. They have no trouble using their gifts in ministry. They have no trouble being faithful in worship. They have no trouble joining a small group to study God's Word and to share life. They have no trouble telling others about Jesus because God's Word says it, and that settles it to them. As for the second chair person, the second chair Christians, well, they respect the Bible. They respect it. First chair submits to the Bible. Second chair respects the Bible. But their lives aren't, though they respect it, their lives aren't necessarily shaped by it. No, these folks would say things like this: the Bible is a good book. It's a good book. It's got some great stories and some pretty good principles. It's got a lot of good stuff in it. But we don't want to OD on it, okay? After all people, if we do that, people may begin to think that we're fundamentalists or extremists. See, they respect the Bible as a good book with some good principles. But when it comes to submitting to it, their mindset is that the Bible should be applied situationally, that it's open to everyone's own personal interpretation of it. If you were to pin them down, the second chair person might say, you know, I know what the Bible says. I know what it says, but I'm not sure that it really means that. Situations have changed. The culture is different. I know what it says, but I think I'm still going to stick with my own decisions and just do what I want to do. Those in the second chair, they are like chameleons. They're like chameleons. They have Christ on the tip of their tongue, but they've got self on the throne of their life. Well, first chair submits to the Bible. The second chair respects the Bible. And those in the third chair, well, they simply own a Bible. Maybe. Maybe. You know, I don't know if you've seen this. Maybe some of you have them. But you may have one of those old, big King James family Bibles. You know what I'm talking about? My family had one of those. It had to be this big, you know, gigantic, about that thick. Always sit on an end table in our house. Ever since I grew up, had one of those things. We owned a Bible, okay? But we didn't. We weren't Christians. We weren't Christians. We had it. It was sitting there, but it was seldom open. It was seldom used. It was more of a decorative piece than anything else. It certainly wasn't a love letter written to us from the Creator of the universe. We didn't see it that way. Nor did it have any relevance for our lives. And if you sit in that third chair, nor does it have any relevance for your life, especially in this year of 2008. No, to those in the third chair, the Bible is just another book. That's all it is. Folks, this is so important for us to understand. We've got to understand this because how we view the Bible ultimately ends up shaping how we view our marriages and our families. Think about marriage for a second. Think about that. Those who are seated in the first chair, they see marriage as an unconditional covenant. It is a covenant. With God, marriage is irrevocable. Till death do you part. That's their promise. That's a covenant that's made. That's God's view of it. And so these people in the first chair, that they see it the same way. When they marry, they commit themselves to patterning their marriage after the book, after what God's word says, after God's purposes for their marriage. A previous marriage may have failed. And it may have. But now they are determined to enter into a covenant relationship from now on. That's what they understand. That's what they believe. The second chair views marriage more like a contract. They view it more like a contract. They make sure that they got all the proper forms filled out in case things don't work out and they need to annul the marriage. After all, God just wants me to be happy, right? Isn't that what He wants? The third chair has a marriage of convenience. Of convenience. To them, marriage is no big deal. It would be a whole lot easier just to keep living together. But there's all this pressure from their family to get married. And plus, there's an additional tax break if you do that. And so they get married. They get married for convenience. And marriage gets diminished and devalued. How about parenting? What about parenting? In the first chair, the goal is to raise godly kids who honor the Lord. To raise godly kids who honor the Lord. In the second chair, it's important to raise good kids. Good kids. You know, stay out of trouble, okay? And I'll be satisfied. Just don't embarrass me. Toe the line. Be good. You know, that's what you want. The third chair person wants to raise successful kids. That's their ultimate goal. The important thing here to them is which college that their child gets into or how much money that they are able to make. This becomes the driving force to them. To them, image is everything. In his book, Dr. Wilkinson wrote how he has shared this concept of the three chairs to tens of thousands of people. And he has found that usually, but not always, first chair parents tend to raise first chair children. Okay? Not always, but normally that's the case. First chair parents tend to raise first chair children. However, he said, the most discouraging and frightening thing that he discovered, he said, is that when it comes to second chair parents, they tend to raise not first chair children and not even second chair children. They tend to raise third chair children. You know why? You know why that happens? It's because as these kids grow up, they watch their second chair parents. And they watch how their parents compromise their Christian faith. They see all the hypocrisy. And they long for something real, for something true, for something authentic. But when they don't see it in mom or dad, the majority of them, they don't move to the first chair, as you might hope. Instead, they go the opposite direction. They rebel, and they end up rejecting mom and dad's faith. Mom, dad, listen. Listen to me. If you want to raise first chair children, then you've got to become a first chair parent. You've got to become a first chair Christian. It's got to happen. Friends, as I said in the beginning, each and every one of us are on a spiritual journey. And this morning, you are sitting in one of these three chairs. You are. You're in one of those. The question is, which one are you sitting in? Where are you sitting in your relationship to God? Folks, how you answer this question is so important. It means everything. Everything in life for you. It's invitation time. It's invitation time. And today, this invitation is for everyone, okay? For every one of you need to choose, you need to decide which chair you are currently sitting in right now and which chair you want to sit in for the rest of your lives. There are three other words that I need to share with you. Three quick words. For those of you who sit in the first chair, the word is reaffirm. Okay? Reaffirm. Reaffirm your commitment to Jesus Christ, that He is Lord of your life, that you are going to be completely sold out to Him in everything, in every matter, every decision that goes on. Wherever you are at work or play and with your neighbors and friends, you are going to be sold out to Him and to His word, to what He wants. Reaffirm your commitment. If you sit here, you need to do that. You need to wake up every morning and say, God, You are first, and I'm second. Okay? You're first. I commit my life to You this day again. Joshua said, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. First chair people, if you sit here, reaffirm. Second chair. If you sit in this chair, the word for you is repent. Repent. This chair is sat in by most, if you're honest. This is the chair. We get so comfortable here. It's so easy to sit here because we can come in and sit, go through the motions and look really good. But you know, God knows what's really going on inside. He knows. He knows whether you respect the Bible or submit to it. He knows. He knows whether you see this journey in your relationship. He knows if you see it as a relationship or if it's just a religion. It's just something I do. What we do. He knows. Friend, you need to repent. Somebody says, well, Darren, I'm a Christian. That's what you said. We're Christians here, right? Yeah. I'm a believer. I believe God's word. I believe about Jesus. I believe that. You know what? That's great. But James tells us that the demons believe. The demons believe, but they shudder. They shudder. Why? Because they're not going to heaven. That's why. Just because you say you believe doesn't mean anything. Okay? It's all about a relationship, about choosing to be sold out to God, to make Him Lord of your life. And you can't play this middle of the road game. You can't keep straddling the fence. You can't say, Sundays I'm here, the rest of the week I'm over here, and I'm just going to kind of blend everything together so it looks kind of good. You can't do that. You can try. But friends, some of the most frightening words in all of Scripture are found in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Jesus is talking to the people who sit in this second chair. That's who He's talking to. And he looks to them and He says to them, I know your deeds. I know your deeds. I know what you're doing. That you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other, but because you are so lukewarm, I'm about, because you're so lukewarm, because you're neither cold nor hot, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And friends, that word that he uses there, spit, that's not the word. The real word is vomit. Throw up. I'm about to throw you up. You make me sick by playing this game. That's what Jesus says. I'm not making those words up, okay? That's Jesus. He says, you can't play this game. Guys, it is so easy to slip from the first chair into the second chair. Satan is always doing everything he can to get us to slip out of that. Always. And I know it, okay? I've slipped from here to here many times. I understand. It is so simple to slip out of there to here. But you don't slip up, okay? That doesn't happen. You don't slip up. You have to make a decision, as Joshua said, to choose this day whom you will serve, and to repent and to move back to the Lord. That's the decision that you have to make. Because this is a critical decision. If you sit in this chair, it should be a frightening chair to you. I don't care what you can. You may be a Christian, okay? But if you sit in this chair and you stay in this chair, why did God say, I'm going to throw you up? I don't know where you stand on salvation and once saved, always saved, and all those things. I don't know where you stand on that. I know I fluctuate back and forth, but I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus said that in John, in Revelation 3, he was talking to Christians who became lukewarm. And that sounded like a warning to me. It didn't sound like something to play with. Don't play here. Repent. Reaffirm. Repent. Third chair, your word is receive. That's your word. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to know something. God is saying to you, I love you. I love you so much. That's why I went to the cross. I went there because I wanted you to have the hope, not just the hope, but the promise of eternal life. I went there, I hung on that cross, I died there, and now my grace is extended to you. It is a free gift. You don't earn it, you don't do anything to merit it, it's yours for the taking. But see, friends, that is it. A gift is only a gift if you receive it. You all had Christmas. You all had Christmas gifts under your trees, didn't you? That gift didn't become yours. It wasn't really a gift until you opened it and you received it. Then it was a real gift. And that's the way it is with Jesus. Those of you in the third chair, Jesus says, I'm here. I'm extending grace to you. The gift of God is given to you. The gift of eternal life is yours. You just need to receive it. Reaffirm, repent, or receive. Those are the three decisions that every one of us must make. We must all make at least one of them today. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve. As we enter this new year, who will you serve? Which chair will you sit in throughout this year? That's the question.